I shared this message in our home church just 2 weeks ago. Try not to keep moving with this microphone. Can't really run with it. I'll just try not to move too much here after I get this stuff out of the way here. I'll hold more still. I won't be a preacher running around. How's that? But I feel like this is an important message. I shared this at our home church, 2 weeks ago, as we kicked off the new year. And I just felt, you know, as I was praying, coming down here, what to share. And I felt like this is a message we're supposed to, should be closing this weekend with. And it's called the Motivational Force of Purpose. We also have a little mini booklet on that, but it's, like I said, it's also in this religion or relationship book. But how important is it to understand purpose, to have vision, to have God-inspired goals? Something very important is we need to get into a place, and I believe this is crucial for 2022, we need to get into a place of intimacy with Holy Spirit, and we need to hear His voice and receive God-inspired vision, purpose, and goals. It's so very crucial at the season and time that we live in this nation. Every one of us is wired and gifted different. So it's like, what are you supposed to do to help with the saving of this country? What are you to do to help bring righteousness to Maricopa County, to Phoenix, or wherever you live, to Arizona? I mean, we have to be inspired by Holy Spirit. And I want to tell you that what I'm sharing today doesn't just work in the spiritual realm. We've been talking about the influence of Greek philosophy, how that Western mindset, it separates the spiritual realm and the physical realm. And we walk around with this Western mindset because of the influence of our church leaders from that really brought Christianity to the West. Augustine, John Calvin, Martin Luther. These three men were greatly influenced by Greek philosophy. And there's so much false doctrine that came in with that influence of Greek philosophy. And the biggest thing is we talk about the separation of the spiritual realm and the physical realm. That's what they teach in Greek philosophy. There's no such thing with Jesus. No such things with the Jewish people. No such thing in Asia. No such thing in Africa. Miracles, healings, signs, and wonders flow in Africa and Asia. You know why? Because they don't separate the two realms. But we, with our Western mindset, even though we believe in the invisible realm and we believe in the physical realm, we still tend to separate the two realms, and we put a priority either on the spiritual or on the physical. Well, what Christians, especially in Pentecostal charismatics, tend to do that are really passionate for the Lord, we tend to separate that realm and put all the focus on the spiritual. That's called Gnosticism, where all the focus is the spiritual. Just ignore the physical. Ignore things like government, politics, ignore business, ignore education, ignore the media, ignore arts and entertainment. Then who takes over that realm? Evil. We've got evil people with evil agenda that have taken over those mountains of influence. And unless we get God-inspired vision and purpose, both in the spiritual realm and the physical realm, when we connect the two realms as one so that heaven can invade earth, what happens is, it's like what it talks about in Proverbs 29:18. Without a vision, without purpose, without God-inspired goals, my people perish. Deuteronomy 2, verse 3 is a great example of what many Christians are going through right now in life. And was a big part of my life, too. Deuteronomy 2, verse 3, I believe it was Moses speaking. He had heard from God, or God speaking to Moses. And he says, "You have wandered the mountain country long enough. Turn northward." You know, without vision, without purpose, without goals in your life, all you're going to do is spin your wheels wandering around in the mountain country going nowhere. and not accomplishing much of kingdom value. So we have to hear Holy Spirit. We need to get to a place of intimacy with Holy Spirit. Like I say, in this book, Religion or Relationship, we have a chapter on the person and partnership with the Holy Spirit. How do you hear His voice? How do you get in a personal relationship with Holy Spirit rather than just walking in religion? That's important in this day and age. We tap into a potential with vision and purpose. You don't reach your potential without any vision, purpose, or goals in your life. You're just going to be wandering through the mountain country, spinning your wheels. Proverbs 28, verse 16 says this. Let me read it here. Proverbs 28, 16. It says, a ruler who lacks understanding is a great oppressor. When leaders have no regard for the creator of the universe and his purpose, they become oppressors. They keep people from creativity. They keep people from purpose. A big part of communism is dumbing the people down, so they just blindly follow whatever government tells them, and then they become dependent on government. They keep them dependent on government. That's the goal right now in Washington, D.C., and with many of these politicians, is they want you dumbed down, no purpose, no vision, no creativity. Why? It's a one-world agenda. It's a precursor. It's not the time of the Antichrist, but people, Holy Spirit spoke to me 2 years ago, and I shared it last night. As soon as we came back from India, our last trip overseas, this has been 2 years since we've been able to travel overseas. Holy Spirit spoke to my spirit very strong, dry run. I had no idea what he was talking about until a week later the COVID travel ban took into effect. And this is a dry run for the Antichrist. How compliant will the world be? The world's been pretty compliant. Look at Australia. And you know, our country and certain states are heading that way right now, especially in the Democrat-run states like Washington, Oregon, California, New York, and other states. And so we've got to get God-inspired vision and purpose. Otherwise, the alternative is atheistic communism. Nothing to do with God. Why do you think they shut down the churches, but yet they allow the strip joints open, the bars, and big business, let small businesses be shut down? What's the difference between them? Is COVID not going to spread in the big businesses like Walmart and Lowe's and all these places, but somehow it's going to spread in the small business? No, there's a diabolical agenda to destroy what this country was founded on. So we have to have God-inspired understanding. We have to have an understanding of God's purpose, goals, and vision in our life if we're going to combat this thing. Because, like it says here, a ruler who lacks understanding, what does he do? He becomes a great oppressor. We have great oppressors in power right now, power-hungry politicians. And they're not even elected, they're selected. I'm talking at Ground Zero, Maricopa County. Things need to radically change. We're hoping some things get triggered that affect the whole nations right here in Maricopa County. Vision and purpose. Here's what vision and purpose will do. It'll wake you up in the morning and put you in a specific direction. Without vision and purpose, what happens? Your life is filled with hopelessness, laziness, stagnation, apathy, discouragement. If you have a life full of purpose and vision, God-inspired, it's going to bring peace, joy, and contentment, because you know what? You're conquering the mountains in your life, and then you don't live on yesterday's victory because new battles rage today. You go from mountaintop to mountaintop conquering. Amen? So this is important. Proverbs 13:12 says this. It says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. When you have no hope, you have no vision, you have no purpose, it actually brings physical sickness to people's bodies. Vision, purpose, goals will fill your life with hope. Amen? Let me just give you some examples of how this works then, okay? Let's give you an example in the spiritual and then also something in the natural realm, okay? In the spiritual realm, I remember when I was first called to healing ministry. And I'm studying faith. I'm studying, I'm learning from people like, reading a lot of Kenneth Copeland, Kenneth Hagin books, and Charles Capps, and some of these guys who are really talking about authority of the believer. And it really was a great foundation to lay in those early days of understanding faith and what it is to walk by faith. And I knew I was called to healing ministry. And I remember my first opportunity to go pray for somebody that was seriously ill, a woman dying in the hospital with cancer. I go pray for her, and within a few days, she dies. It's not a good start to a healing ministry. So I'm figuring out, what do I do? You know, I know this stuff is real. My mom was supernaturally healed of breast cancer. Doctors coming in one day when she had been suffering for several months, saying, there's a mystery that's taking place in your blood cell. We can't find any cancer anymore. And my mother is 86 now, never had breast cancer again. And that was back in the 70s. So my mom and dad were inspiration. I knew I was called to healing ministry, but it wasn't a good start. So I had to get some purpose, some goal. Bible says in, I believe it's in Matthew 5:6, Jesus said, those who hunger and thirst after righteousness will be filled. It's a spiritual, whatever you're hungry for, it's a principle, you'll be filled with it. If I'm hungry for a Big Mac after church today, guess what? I'm going to go get filled with the Big Mac. It's whatever I'm hungry for, I'm filled my life with. Well, I got hungry for healing, and I started studying it more. From January to June of 1980, I got into deliverance ministry, started understanding Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil. And what happened is I realized the connection between demons and sickness and disease and mental problems. And from January to June of 1980, I probably spent 30 to 40 hours a week casting demons out of people. I lived in an area with a lot of witchcraft, Satanism. Anton LaVey just lived a few towns away, who wrote the Satanic Bible. So a lot of the high schools were filled with Satanism and witchcraft and people coming out of that. And we had phenomenal, phenomenal deliverances and healings taking place, words of knowledge. The gifts of the Spirit really began to flow in my life during that time. And it was a really good foundation to understand how the demonic realm worked, but keeping the focus on Jesus. And we started seeing all kinds of miracles. Well, people would say, well, how much sickness and disease is demonic related? Well, we've seen many, since that time, we've seen many thousands of people healed instantly by the power of God, many progressively too. Hundreds and hundreds of blind eyes open, deaf ears open, cancers dissolved, tumors dissolved, broken bones healed. I mean, we've seen phenomenal miracles. Some people ask, how much is that demonic related? Because Jesus said, these signs will follow them that believe. You'll lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. He finishes and says, or you'll cast out demons. And then he finishes by saying, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. How much is it just laying hands on the sickness for the sick and they shall recover? How much is it casting out a demon? Look at Jesus' ministry. A lot of it was connected to the demonic realm. So I got a purpose, a vision. I pressed in there to learn more. And what happened? This healing ministry was birthed. I would have to say, of the many thousands of people we've seen healed over the years, probably 3/4 of them were dealt with by dealing with the demonic realm. It's very active. It's not everything is a demon, though. You know? And I don't have time. I'm not teaching a healing ministry. I'm just giving you an idea of how I got a purpose to learn about healing and deliverance, getting a hunger in that area, and then we started seeing it. that purpose, that vision, those goals, I wasn't going to get sidetracked by people coming along and say, well, maybe it's not God's will all the time. Maybe it was God's will for that lady to die in the hospital. And then I didn't listen to talk like that. I pressed in, what does the word say? And so I had that goal. Here in the physical realm, in high school, I loved playing football. In my senior year in high school, I was 6'1", 145 pounds. You don't go very far playing football. 6'1", just skin and bones. But when my main position in high school was a kicker, because the other positions, I mean, I could throw, but man, I tell you, if I was playing quarterback or something like that, I would just be, I'd be pretty brittle back in those days. So, but and I loved playing other positions as well. So I had a goal in my senior year. I was, my coach said I'm best kicker this team had ever had in the history of the high school. I was the first one to start actually kicking extra points and field goals. They never had that before in this high school. And so I did well. My nickname was Mark the Toe. And it was just a small school. It wasn't like the big city school like Phoenix. This is more like a division down from that. And my goal, after I graduated, I wanted to play more football. I wanted to play college football or junior college. There was a team nearby in suburb of Minneapolis called Normandale Junior College, and it was usually their football team was top 10 or top 20 in the nation. I wanted to make that team and be on that team by next fall. Well, I needed to get some God in. Well, I didn't know it at that time. I was a Christian, but I didn't know anything about vision, purpose, and goals, but somehow I got a hold of that. I said, you know what? I'm going to make that team. That was my goal. That was my vision. How am I going to make that team? I was telling people I wanted to be on that team, and they thought it was a joke. You know, teammates and friends and neighbors, they tried talking me out of it. There's no way you're going to make that team. You know, but I decided in the spring, okay, I'll start hitting weights. I'll start pumping weights, getting some muscle. I ended up working at McDonald's, and I got a lot of the leftover burgers and stuff like that. So I started putting some weight on. By that fall, when I was supposed to be on that team, I had gone from 145 pounds to 165 pounds, a little bit more weight, a little bit more muscle, you know. But I spent the spring and the summer a lot of time kicking, doing kickoffs and field goals and practicing. In Minnesota, where I live, there's a lot of severe thunderstorms and rain and stuff like that. I remember times I'd be out there. I hadn't practiced. It's raining all day long. I'm out there kicking in the middle of that. Those rainstorms. I'm kicking field goals. I'm kicking kickoffs. I'd also do a lot of running in that time. And I remember times, well, man, I haven't run yet today, and it's the forecasters say, don't get out and run. Lightning, severe lightning storms, and it's dangerous to be out there because lightning. And I remember, oh, I hadn't run my mile and a half yet today. So I'd get out there and I'd run. I'd see lightning in front of me, and I'd see lightning behind me. It'd get you running, you know. And I would say, no, I've got to run. I'm going to make that team. I was determined. That was my goal, my purpose, my vision is get on that football team. And whatever it took, I had the goals, the vision, the practical steps to get there. I counted the cost. That's part of purpose, is counting the cost. Come fall of 1977, I ended up making that team. And I ended up, I played behind an All-American kicker. He led the nation in kicking for junior colleges. And so I was hoping that next year I would end up, you know, he was going to be graduating. I would be able to take his place. And to keep him, so he didn't get banged up because he was such a valuable kicker, they had me doing all the kickoffs, or at least most of the kickoffs. And my kickoff average improved by 10 yards. The last game of the season, some friends came from my hometown to watch the game. And I ended up almost close to putting the last kickoff I did almost through the goalpost. Yeah, it was a strong wind behind me too. That helps when you have a hurricane. Force winds behind you, no. But then I kicked out, and I also got to play when our team would really beat up on other teams and we run up the score. Then I got to play some third string wide receiver. I ended up catching a pass for a first down, and my friends that came from my hometown, I think they were shocked. They were thinking, Anderson? No, come on. But you know what? What happened is God-inspired vision and goals helped me make that football team. It helped me in sports. Next year, I was called into ministry. I never did. I thought about returning to that team, but the Lord ended up calling me into full-time ministry, what I'm doing today. And I'm glad I got sidetracked by a bigger vision. Amen? Now I'm kicking devil butt and receiving his blessings, right? All right. So can we know our future? Here's the big thing, is a lot of people, because of the influence of Calvinism and Augustine, this mindset of the Greek philosophy mindset I talk about in the influence of Greek philosophy on Western Christianity, there's a real passiveness in Christianity. It's so much a passiveness and a lazy attitude of whatever will be, that it's helping take and destroy our nation right now. That if that mindset does not change in the church, we'll watch our nation go downhill. It has to change. But there's that influence, it comes, and there's a lot of scriptures you can take out of context. One scripture they take out of context is in the, if you read it in the King James, it's Matthew 6:34. So they'll quote the scripture, "Take no thought for tomorrow, for tomorrow will take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." Now, if you just take that scripture, there's all kinds of scriptures you can take out of context if you don't read what the context is. I remember in the early 80s going through some severe struggles. I'm in ministry. I'm trying to make it happen. And I was just getting beat up. I mean, things were not going good. And people would come along in those days, "Brother, just take one day at a time, sweet Jesus." I mean, they were inspired by that song. "One day at a time, sweet Jesus, that's all I'm asking from you." You know, and that was their inspiration. And they take scriptures like this. "Brother, the Bible says just don't think for tomorrow. Live one day at a time, sweet Jesus." Well, living one day at a time, sweet Jesus, didn't work too well for me. It dug the hole even further, made the circumstances even worse. Because that's not what that scripture is saying. If you read that in the original Greek or in just the New King James Version or the Amplified, it's taking no thought or anxious worry about tomorrow. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. If we let fear and worry control us today, it'll keep you from doing what you're called to do today. Fear activates Satan's destructive power. God's not given us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. You have to make a choice. Am I going to walk in fear? Then I'm not going to have power, love, and a sound mind. Or am I going to walk in power, love, and a sound mind? Then fear can't come near. It's a choice. Which way are you going? God said he's not giving you that spirit of fear. But anxious thoughts about tomorrow will keep you from doing what God's called you to do today. We have to be inspired. It's not one day at a time, sweet Jesus. That mindset came from this Western mindset of just, Augustine said this, whatever happens in this life, good or evil, it's the will of God. And he said, don't question it. Don't say it's the will of men or of angels. It's the will of God. John Calvin came along and followed that same mindset. Everything that happens in life, it's just, you know, it's a mystery. We just have to accept it as the will of God. Well, I tell you something, if that's your mindset, you will never rise up with authority. And that passiveness will cause you to have a false humility and a religious spirit that will keep this nation from rising up. Unless the church rises up and gets beyond that mindset, I tell you, this is what's part of what's taken this country down, is we've allowed evil to flourish. We'll talk more about that as we close up here. Jesus said in Luke 21:26, he says, in the last days, he says, men's hearts would be failing them for fear of looking after all the things that would be coming on the earth. And how many people have been dying, premature deaths because heart failure, or looking after and letting fear and worry activate their life and take them downhill. A lot of people. Now let's look at some verses, because the Bible tells us just the opposite. The Bible shows us, God wants to show us your future. Why do you think people are running to tarot card readers and trying to get their direction through horoscopes and stuff like that? It's a counterfeit of the real thing. Holy Spirit wants to show us our future. Look at what Jesus said. And I'm reading out of the Amplified Bible. John 16, verse 13 through 15. But when he, the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, the truth-giving Spirit comes, he will guide you in all the truth, the whole, full truth. He will not speak his own message on his own authority, but he will tell you whatever he hears from the Father. He'll give you the message that has been given to him. He will announce and declare to you things that are to come, that will happen in the future. He will honor and glorify me because he will take and receive and draw upon what is mine. He will reveal, declare, disclose, transmit to you. Everything that the Father has is mine. That's why I meant when I said, he, the Spirit, will take things that are mine and he'll reveal, declare, disclose, and transmit it to you. And in the original, in the original Greek, this verse says he'll actually transmit to your spirit things that pertain to the future. Does that sound like that Jesus, God the Father, Holy Spirit want to show us the future? Yes. If you will get to a place of intimacy, he will transmit to your spirit things that pertain to the future. He'll transmit to your things, purpose, vision, and goals. Here's what you can do to turn the tide in Maricopa County. Here's what you can do to stop some evil stuff that's happening in the high schools or the precincts, in your precincts. You'll get vision, you'll get goals, you'll get purpose. Let's read a few more scriptures on how God wants to show us our future. Another one out of the Amplified is Jeremiah 33:3. A lot of us are familiar with that, but look at what it says in the Amplified. Call to me, I'll answer you and show you great and mighty things, fenced in and hidden, which you do not know, do not distinguish and recognize, have knowledge of and understand. If you'll call on the Lord and you'll get to a place of intimacy with the Holy Spirit, he will show you things that are fenced in and hidden. You had no idea they were there. But you've got to get to that place of intimacy. Holy Spirit, speak to me. I want to know you intimately. I want to hear your voice. Transmit to my spirit things that pertain to the future, my future. Another one, Isaiah 42:9. Behold, the former things have come to pass, and new things I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. God's wanting to tell you your future. So why are you hesitant in hearing what your future holds? It should be very good things that he's speaking to you. Say, here's what I want you to do. That word declare in the Hebrew means to announce, predict, and to rehearse. See, here's what happens is when you hear the voice of Holy Spirit, Bible says, here we have this right here. We have the written word of God. The written word of God is the Logos. It says in Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That word there is not Logos, it's Rhema. It's the spoken word of God. Faith does not come by this. This helps. You read the Bible, you get it into your spirit, you hide his word in your heart, but it doesn't bring about faith unless it's activated through a spoken word from heaven. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the spoken word. We've got to get to a place of intimacy with Holy Spirit and hear that spoken word. What kind of circumstances are you going through right now? Get a rhema on how to overcome that. Start hearing his spoken word. I mean, here's proof of it. Matthew 14:29, Jesus is walking on the water. The waves are huge. And the disciples were afraid. And then Peter was daring enough to say, Jesus, if that's you, bid me to come. Jesus said one word, come. There was enough faith and there was enough power in that one word spoken out of Jesus' mouth, the word come, that Peter could literally get out of the boat and defy the laws of gravity. As long as he kept his eyes on Jesus, he was walking on the water. As soon as he looked to the right and to the left and to the waves, and fear came in, what happened? He sunk. He immediately looked to Jesus again. Save me, Jesus. So they say, oh, Peter, you failed. Well, the other 11 disciples never even got out of the boat. At least he tried. Amen? You can fail going forward. That's a lot better. Amen? Look at Habakkuk 2. Verses 2 through 3. And I'm sorry I'm moving a little quick. A lot of stuff to cover here. But if you're taking notes, write it down. Habakkuk 2, verses 2 through 3. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision, make it plain upon the tablets, that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. But at the end it will speak, it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. There's people here right now. You are contending for the nation and you're feeling weary. Why isn't the real president in the White House right now? And you're contending for this nation. You're saying, what's going on, Lord? Is this ever going to end? We've got all this exposure of evil, but no justice hardly last year at all. I mean, we've got the DOJ and our attorney general weaponizing law enforcement to go after mothers who show up at school boards. Yeah. Something's wrong with that. Yep. We've got to get to the place where we understand, wait for it. Do we understand what that means? Children of Israel had no place to go when they were backed up against the Red Sea. They're backed up against the Red Sea. They couldn't go to the right. They couldn't go to the left. Here comes Pharaoh's army to wipe them out. And what happens? Wait for it. We're getting ready for a Red Sea moment, people. Wait for it. Don't be weary. We're going to pray. I believe we should pray in closing. Sharmila was sensing this. We need to pray for those who are getting weary. I mean, Sharmila and I felt it too. If we lose our focus and our eyes aren't all eyes on Jesus, if our eyes are on Jesus to see what he's up to, and our eyes aren't focused on what heaven's about to do, we're just focused on hell that is raging in our country, we'll become weary. It'll keep you from sleeping at night. Here's what the word vision means in the original Hebrew. It means to gaze at mentally, to perceive, to prophesy, and to behold. Think about that. The word wait, it actually means to become one with, to portray, and to carve on the inside. So here it is. We get a vision, and it actually, that vision prophesies. That vision speaks. We behold that vision. We perceive that vision. And then what happens? We wait for it. We become one. We begin to portray it. We carve that vision, that purpose, on the inside of our spirit. And here's where a lot of Christians miss it. They don't understand the set time. Notice it says, the vision is yet for an appointed time. The vision or the prophetic word or the purpose. What happens is we think, okay, as soon as I get a prophetic word, a vision from God, Let's run out and make it happen. And we don't understand the appointed time and the season for that word to be fulfilled. And what happens is we run out prematurely, unprepared, and we never succeed. We fail because we have not understand the appointed time or the set time for that vision to be fulfilled. It's almost like what it's like is there's an incubation time. You get a word from God, and is it the right time to run out on that thing? Or do we begin to become one with it? Do we begin to carve it on the inside? Do we, part of that word declare means to rehearse it. Now, I don't know how much you guys like football, and I was cheering for the Arizona Cardinals, you know, but they've been really fading. I might have to pick a different team here. Kind of like my team. I had to find an alternative to the Minnesota Vikings. So, but you ever notice, it's kind of fun in the playoffs especially. I don't watch as much regular season football, but I like watching the playoffs because they take it to a whole new level. And then all of a sudden they come out with these trick plays and, you know, and you're thinking, how did Kyler Murray do that? Did he just think that up and all of a sudden, oh, he made that happen? No, coach was running that play. They were looking at how they could defeat the other team, their strategies, and they were rehearsing that thing over and over. And the coach was saying, do it again. Vince Lombardi was really good at that with the Green Bay Packers. That's how they won 2 Super Bowls in a row in the early years. Okay, nope, you didn't get it right. Do it again. And then do it 1,500 times, you know, until they got it perfected. Then the game came and the opportunity came for let's put this play into practice right now, into play. And what happens? They had rehearsed that thing hundreds of times to make it happen during the football game. That's what you're called to do, is you rehearse these things. You get them in your spirit. You don't just take off running right away with unless the Lord's saying, get after it, you know? Because you're lagging behind. Sometimes we lag behind. But happens is many Christians get the job half done because they're ill-equipped and they're not ready for the fulfillment of that vision, purpose, and goal that God's putting before them. So go after it. And the set time comes, if you've rehearsed it, you've become one with it, you're portraying it, you carved it on the inside, guess what? You're ready. Now let's do it. Amen? Because I tell you, evil, they've been practicing and rehearsing for decades to release what's happening right now. They didn't just all of a sudden say, oh, you know, COVID would be a good idea. Let's release something from this Wuhan lab and lock down the world. That would be a really good plan. No, that stuff was being hatched for decades with the Communist Chinese Party, with Fauci and Peter Daszak and other doctors who were involved in this. And they're all compromised by money and fame, power hungry. Ecclesiastes 9, verses 10 through 12. Let's read that. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might, for there's no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you are going. I returned and saw under the sun, the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor bread to the wise, nor riches to the men of understanding, nor favor to the men of skill, but time and chance happens to them all, for man also does not know his time. It says here, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all of your might. Well, how can I give it 100% if I don't know I'm called to do that thing? See, you got to know you're called to do something to give it all of your might, 100%. Say, you know what? I'm in this hook, line, and sinker. If you know, the ship's going down, I'm on this. This is what I'm called to do. You can't give it 100%. And it says here, you know, a lot of people would think, well, riches are going to come to the men of skill. The battle is going to be for the strong. Or the somebody who's fast, they're going to win the race. Bible says that's not necessarily so. time and chance happens to them all, and man also does not know his time. But you know who knows time? Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit knows the time and the season. He's known it from before the foundation of the world. So if I'm getting intimate with Holy Spirit, Father God, Jesus, and I'm saying, Lord, show me, guess what? I can end up arriving before anybody else does and cause that thing to take off, even though I didn't have the skill and ability. I'll give you a perfect example. This humility book, by the way, I was never anything great in English. I write these books, and this woman here, along with a couple other people, they make sense of these books, okay? I need a lot of help in this department, okay? I'm still learning English, by the way. So, and it's taken me a long time. But I remember, this would have been about 2009. Lord had been speaking to me for 11 years. Ever since we read Rick Joyner's book, The Final Quest, about humility and the religious spirit and not giving place to religious humility, but Christ-like humility, and the showing me the difference. And then we're teaching that stuff over in India and seeing great effects. So I started writing this book, and then I needed to get it published. Well, I'd only had a couple books out, and, you know, maybe I didn't sell that many books other than when we travel, you know. So I was an unknown author, and I decided, you know, I'm going to contact Destiny Image, see if they'll be interested in publishing this book. Well, Destiny Image, they probably on a weekly basis, they turn thousands of authors away. They mainly go with the big name authors. So I go to submit my manuscript, and their system was down. It wasn't working. Notice how the Lord, he turns circumstances around when you're following his time. So I called Destiny Image and said, hey, I tried to, you know, submit my manuscript, you know, on your online form, and somehow it's not working. Well, the lady said, you know what, why don't you call Rhonda Rinaldi and talk to her about this this book, and she can walk you through the process. Okay, so I give her a call. She'd just come back from vacation. Holy Spirit was speaking to her about humility. And I said, you know, here's the subject. I wrote this book about humility, part of Randy Clark, his circles, and he wrote a foreword for this book. She told me, after barely talking to her, I am so looking forward to getting your manuscript and reading through it. And it's Destiny Image took that book. They published it. They even helped Sharmila on some of her wording and stuff like that to really perfect it. I mean, with their professional editors, they came up with the title, Humility, the Hidden Key to Walking in Signs and Wonders. They came up with the cover, all this stuff. And then they began to promote. That book has sold probably many tens of thousands of copies in the United States. And we ended up, they published it in Germany. This book opened doors for us in Germany, where in a 5-6 year period from 2014 to 2019, we've spoken probably 50, 60 different churches, many of them multiple times in Germany, Austria, and Switzerland. And this book was what triggered the whole thing. Publisher got a hold of this from Destiny Image. So what it came down for me is being at the right place at the right time, hearing Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit says, I've got a purpose for you. You write about humility, and I'm going to get this message released. And then the effects of this teaching and the glory of God that's manifested as we've taught those things. I did not have the skill and ability. I didn't have the financial resources. I didn't have the connection. I'm just a no-namer. But somehow, being at the right place at the right time, that's what it's all about in this life, people. It's divine appointments, being at the right place at the right time and letting Holy Spirit promote you. Amen? Yeah. Hallelujah. Anybody say amen to that? Amen. So, You know, in Romans 8:28, this is a really distorted verse. Calvinist, Augustine, and others, they would take this because of the influence of Greek philosophy. They say, all things work together for good to them that love God. And they don't quote the beginning of that verse and the end of that verse. And I want to tell you, all things do not work together for good. If you're not putting into practice what the beginning of that verse, the prior verses say, and what the end of that verse says, they're not going to work together for your good. You're living a lie. You're living a fantasy. What does the beginning of that verse says? And all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to what? His purpose. Well, what? Let's say, for example, I don't really want to fit into his purpose for my life. Will all things work together for my good? No, it doesn't just fall from the sky. And the reason they quote that scripture and take it out of context is because Augustine and Calvin said, whatever happens in this life is the will of God, good or evil. Augustine believed in two gods before he came to Christ, one that did evil, one that did good. When he became a Christian because of his influence of Greek philosophy, he brought that into Western Christianity. He did a lot of good things, but he also brought this mindset. Now there's one God. He does both good and evil. And all things work together for the good. No, they don't. And the beginning of that verse says, and all things work together for good. What's the and there for? It's talking about the prior verses. Verse 26 and 27. Verse 26 and 27 is talking about allowing the Holy Spirit to pray through you according to God's perfect will. And then all things will work together for good. It's talking about praying in tongues. I was at a Bible study with a bunch of Calvinists one time, and they're just saying all things work together for good. But I said, what about the prior verses? I start talking about the tongues, and I could tell that group leader did not like that one bit. And the pastor of the church says, you know, and they tried to shut me down. And the pastor of the church says, you know what, we need to let Mark speak next time. But I tell you, the guy that was leading the Bible study was almost like fuming at me. How dare I question that all things work together for good. I said, my whole story revolves around praying when I first got baptized in the Spirit and praying in tongues, and then all things began to work together for my good. That's how I end up saying, you know, football isn't going to work. I'm called to ministry. People started getting saved. Forks in the road. Let's talk about forks in the road. See, many people will come to, every one of us, you'll come to forks in the road in your life, spiritual forks, or forks in this natural realm, and you'll think, what do I do? Here's what happens is a lot of Christians end up going down the wrong path, or they come to the fork in the road and they stagnate. They become passive. They don't know which way to go, indecision, procrastination. See, the thing is, if you have purpose, vision, and goal, when you come to the forks in the road, you're going to know which path to go down. It's going to be very obvious. I'll just give you an example of my own personal life. I was called into ministry. I started doing ministry work in 78 and been doing it for a long time. But it was a real struggle in those early years until I understood this thing about purpose. And it was in 1985. My desire was to really, I wanted to go overseas and do open-air outreaches. I'd look at T.L. Osborne and some of these great ministries that were doing great things, Reinhard Bonnke. I said, man, something inside of me burned to be able to do that kind of stuff. And in 1985, doors were starting to open for me to go and preach in different churches. And I had I was 3 weeks on the road traveling. I had churches in Montana and churches in Minnesota to speak at. And my life was a mess at that time. Things were not going good. There was even sin in my life, at things that I had to repent of and say, Lord, forgive me. I screwed up again. And here I am on the road, and like some condemnation and guilt kind of setting in. Look at how you blew it. You blew it again. You know, look at how messed up your life is, you know. I mean, these are some of the thoughts that were going through my mind. When I was in Billings, Montana, I was speaking at the small church, and I decided to do a few days of fasting and prayer. I had, you know, before I hit the road and went to the next meetings. So in between, when I wasn't so busy, I'd go up into the hills, the mountains outside north of Billings, and just spend the day seeking the Lord, praying, worshiping Him. And then really, I had heard this message about purpose, and it just kind of ignited something. Pastor just preached it for like 15 minutes, but it was like a rhema word to me. And I said, Lord, I need purpose. I need vision. I need goals to get somewhere in life. I'm just kind of feel like I'm spinning my wheels. I'm not getting anywhere. And I had open doors. I had some different forks in the road that were taking place. And I'm seeking the Lord during this prayer and fasting, just trusting Holy Spirit to speak to me. And I remember listening. This is powerful. I was listening to a song by David Meese. And it was called, You Can Go Now, You Can Go Now. And here's the words to the chorus. You can go now, you can go. You've got the treasure the world needs to know. You can go now, you can go. You got the power of God, let it flow. And I felt like I'm listening to that song over and over again while I'm traveling and I'm spending this time in prayer and fasting. I'm just putting it on, rewind, hit it again. And I almost felt like Holy Spirit was speaking, Mark, you can go now. You can go. You got the treasure the world needs to know. You can go now. You got the power of God. Let it flow. And the Lord began to speak to me. I've called you to go to the harvest fields of other nations. He began to speak to me about starting to do mission work in different countries. Well, I had no open doors to do that, nor did I have the resources. I mean, for me, a big offering would be $300 in those days, and you know, and oh man, I'm going to be able to pay my rent. That's good. You know, I got some money for gas. Good, good, you know. I mean, trying to raise thousands of dollars to go overseas and do outreaches, that was way beyond me. So I hit the road and after Billings and went to preach at a church north of suburb of Minneapolis. And the pastor there, he had a good, real good name. His name was Mark Anderson as well. And he had me speak. His church was pretty good size. And he had been a crusade coordinator for Nikki Cruz, Lowell Lundstrom, Milan Lefevre, and his band. A lot of experience in those kind of things. And he was starting to organize outreaches in India at the time. And he asked me while I was at his church, this is just a few days after Holy Spirit spoke to me, and said, you know what, how would you like to go overseas and do some outreaches in India? I said, man, I would love to, but we don't have the resources and the finances to do stuff like that. He sat me down and said, you know, learn how to communicate your vision better. And he just sat me down, gave me some practical ideas, and said, you pray about it and get back to us. Well, within a couple days, I'm on the phone with him. Well, I'm in another town in northern Minnesota. I said, hey, count me in. I'm going with you. I had no money. The budget was about $5,500 for airfare and to do the outreach. And you know what? Long story short, I had forks in the road. I did carpentry work in those days. I could do more framing and carpentry work. I could continue. Doors were starting to open to preach in churches in Canada and the U.S. I could go do that kind of stuff, or I could pursue this third fork in the road and start taking it to the nations. When I came to that fork in the road, there was no indecision. I already had my purpose, my vision, my goals. I told him, count me in, I'm going. And within a few months, I was able to raise that money. I was on a jet plane over to my first trip, mission trip outside North America. And we saw 5,500 people give their hearts to Christ. We saw first time I saw a blind person, woman 20 years totally blind, and she was healed by the power of God. God popped her eyes open, and Hindus and Muslims flocked to Jesus. I became addicted to world missions, and I've been doing it ever since, where we've seen over 200,000 people come to Christ in these outreaches now. And had the privilege of preaching in about 22 different nations I'm addicted to missions. But you know what? I'll tell you right now, as on a side note, I'm called, Shamil and I are called to mission work. But you know what my number one mission is? United States of America. Because what happens in D.C. impacts the entire world. What this administration, the Biden administration, and Fauci and these people are calling, they're calling the shots, and they're it's nothing but diabolical evil plans. I mean, nothing good. Our economy's going kaputs, sex slave trade coming across the border. I mean, everything evil has been released. Even the economy, the gas prices, everything. There's not any good that's come out of this administration, people. It's a diabolical agenda. They know what they're doing. It's a globalist agenda to take this world down. And I'll tell you, I'll talk to you a little bit about the puppet master behind what's going on here in closing. They have purpose, they have visions, they have goals. But my desire is to impact this country, because I know if I can impact Washington, D.C., and I can help get people to rise up and take this country back, it's going to affect India. It's going to affect Germany. It's going to affect Australia and Austria and Nepal. Because so many countries follow what D.C. does. That's why I contend for this nation. And God's hand of anointing is on this nation. You think our forefathers who came here to this shore and made a covenant with God to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ, they made a covenant that came here. These people that got off the Mayflower. You think God's going to forget that covenant and just let this country go down? No, but we have to pay the price. We have to count the cost. We need to get inspired by Holy Spirit and take this country back. 1 John 3, verse 8 says, "For this purpose the Son of God was made manifest." Aren't you glad? And that he might destroy the works of the evil one. Aren't you glad Jesus stuck to his purpose? You know, they wanted to make Jesus an earthly king. But that wasn't his purpose back then. Later on, when he comes back, he's going to come as a king, right? But why didn't he do it right then? That wasn't his purpose. He understood the season and the timing. He came to destroy the works of the enemy, and he was totally focused on that purpose. They couldn't kill Jesus. They tried to stone him, and it says he passed through the midst of them. You can't take down somebody with purpose, people. Ecclesiastes 3:1, "To everything there's a season, a time for every purpose under heaven." People, this is important as we're closing, getting ready to close this down. We got to understand the seasons and the timing we're in. What worked before isn't necessarily what's going to work right now, people.
That's right.
The mindset has to change. We're in a different season, and we need to be in tune to what that season is. If you read Ecclesiastes 3, you'll see there's time for war. There's a time for peace. There's a time to heal. There's a time to plant. There's a time to pluck up and destroy. What season are we in? Let's be in tune to Holy Spirit for that. Amen? And here's what can happen is corporate vision and purpose can cause us, if we come together unified, not scattered here and there, but we're the unified body of Christ and we come together to accomplish things, it's going to happen. Look at this scripture, and I'll tell you, united action produces effectiveness. We got to quit living on yesterday's victories because new battles are raging right now. I see too many Christians, they live on their victories from last year, their mountaintop experiences, and they're still talking about that 10 years later. There's new battles that are raging. What are you doing now? Look at these verses, Genesis 11, verses 4 and 6. This is during the time of the Tower of Babel. And it said, "They said, 'Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad the face of the earth.'" And then verse 6, "And the Lord said, 'Indeed, the people are one, And they all have one language. In this, what they begin to do, now nothing they propose to do will be withheld from them. And this is talking about evil people. This is the time of Nimrod, who sacrificed humans and went after human blood. I mean, there are a lot of comparisons, stuff that's going on right now. A very demonic time. And it says these evil people, they wanted to make a tower to basically rise up into the heavens and curse God out and get in his face. God said, now these people are one. Nothing they propose will be withheld from them. So what happened? God came down, destroyed the Tower of Babel, and he confused the languages. That's how we got all the different languages in the world. Can you imagine if we could turn that around and that could be for good? Christians and conservatives. It's happening, people. Do you notice how, like, I think you just had a reawakening thing here in Phoenix? These reawakenings are bringing together people that aren't even Christians. They're conservatives. Yeah. They love our country. Yeah. They're coming together with the Christians, and the two of them are working hand in hand to save our country. Amen. Can you imagine if we get more of that unity coming together? And people, it starts in your own city, in your own county, your own precincts. The Lord's convicted me to get involved with helping keep our Republican Party in our Park County where I live from being rhinos. Yeah. Yeah. So I'm getting involved, and we've got this 86-year-old lady, I mean 86, 87, her name is Carol, and she's just sounding the alarm every time there's something evil going on in town. She's at the school board meetings. If something's happening, she'll go and start protesting at the courthouse. She'll get front page headlines, and all of a sudden they reverse that thing because this woman's sounding the alarm, a true patriot. Yeah. We need people. You say, no, I'm too old. Well, you need to talk to Carol then, because you're not too old. She's impacting our city, and she's impacting our county by the stand she's taken against evil and getting Christians activated in the political realm. And here's what I want to close with. Because of this influence, and if you haven't read my book, The Influence of Greek Philosophy, you say, what book would you recommend getting? I'd say, get the book, The Influence of Greek Philosophy on Western Christianity. Because the very things I wrote about it in the spring of 2020, we've been watching them play out. I said, unless this changes, here's what will happen, and it's exactly what happened. And also, in one chapter, I talk about this dry run and how people talk about, they twist a scripture in Thessalonians about a great falling away. There's no such thing as great falling away. In fact, the Bible says in 1 Timothy 4, it says, in the latter days, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing doctrines. There will be a departure by some, not all. It's not a great falling away, but Joel chapter 2 talks about a great outpouring. We are living in the time of the second outpouring that Joel is talking about. And we've got to understand, though, at the same time, we have a choice before us. Do you want atheism and communism to take over this country, or do you want a great awakening? It's your choice. Then what are you going to do about it to bring about that great awakening? We've got to get God inspired. See, here's what's happening, is you've got people that have been planning for the destruction of America for decades. George Soros, the number one. He's the puppet master. In fact, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, your Secretary of State is bought and paid for by George Soros money. Same with your county sheriff in Maricopa. Bought and paid for by George Soros money so that election fraud could take place and the truth won't be revealed. And then as soon as it is revealed, with people like Wendy Rogers and others rising up, they squelch it and try to put it down and try to intimidate your attorney general. Get on the horn and tell Branovich to get things done. Amen? I heard he's getting some things done. That's good. Behind the scenes. Sometimes you got to do it quietly. Because otherwise, George Soros and his dad. I mean, BLM, Black Lives Matter, and Antifa is funded by George Soros money. The bricks that were on the streets in Minneapolis, where I started in ministry, so that they could break windows and stuff like that in other cities, so they could throw, in Chicago, throw them at police officers and stuff, funded by George Soros money. Here's what George Soros has said. The guy's, he's had a purpose. He's very much along the lines of Genesis 11 that we just got done reading. Here's what he said. The main obstacle to a stable and just world order is the United States. Changing the attitude and the policies of the United States remains my top priority. And he's taken his billions, one of the richest men in the world, and he's destroyed nations. Yeah, many nations. And he's now he's finally in his 90s. You think the guy would just shut up and be quiet. His goal is destroy America. His ultimate goal that stands in the way of this atheistic guy who claims to be a god and loves playing God, he says, is to destroy our country. He's doing a good job of because he's been these goals, these purpose, these visions, he's bought out all kinds of many Secretary of States are bought and paid for. Attorney generals in like Keith Ellison in where I used to live, Minneapolis, he's bought and paid for by George Soros money. Justice is not going to prevail with these people. We have to rise up. Amen? So what's happening is evil is very proactive, people. But because of this influence of Greek philosophy on Western Christianity and this Western mindset, we Christians as a whole tend to be reactive, not proactive. So what happens is we've got evil is proactive. They're taking over government. They're taking over education. They're taking over business, big tech, big pharma. They're taking over arts and entertainment. They're taking over the media, everything they possibly can. And you'll look and you'll find a lot of this stuff, especially the media, is funded, a lot of it's funded by George Soros money and big pharma. And what's going on? There's a vision, there's a purpose and goal. It's to bring this country into a one-world government system. That's the goal of the Antichrist in the end times. We're watching it. This is the dry run. Let's stand against it because it's going to be much worse later on if we don't. I don't plan to be around for the Antichrist, by the way. Amen? But let's rise up at a time like this. It's so important. Evil is proactive. We as Christians many times are reactive. We wait for the ship to sink. Once the ship starts sinking like it is right now, all hell is breaking loose. Everything that could go wrong is going wrong. Supply chains, small business shutting down, sex slave trade, and drug cartel just overwhelming our border. What's going on? Now we become reactive. We're angry. We're mad. But the ship is sinking. We have to get proactive ourselves and stay proactive because as long as we are reactive instead of proactive, we have this whatever will be attitude that comes from Calvinism, comes from Augustine, this Greek mindset. As long as we're that in that place, what will happen is evil will flourish and they'll continue to push. It's the minority controlling the majority. Can you imagine if the majority just stands up? Right. What will happen? Right. Tell you all kinds of stories in history. 1%, the 2%, the 3% controlled the 97% or the 99%. Mm-hmm. Told them what to do and everybody just kind of, well, we got to love our neighbor. We got to be humble. We don't want to rock the boat. It's a false humility that says, I love my comfort. I don't want to step out. I don't want to put my neck on the line. We need to get some backbone. Amen? Amen. I know this is kind of tough, this message, but there's a globalist one world agenda, people. And America, they're looking at America, the whole world. If we could understand what happens in America is going to impact the rest of the world. Yeah. So we need to do away with the lies and the deception, atheistic communism, and we need to contend for a great awakening. Amen?
Amen.
Let's get proactive. Let's say, you know what? Because as long as we're not proactive, the communist agenda, the evil agenda, they'll keep pushing. Until they get pushback, they're not backing off. Once they get a pushback, ooh, we'll back off. The majority is rising up. They're coming out of their sleep and their slumber, their passivity. We better back off. And then that when we kind of let off the gas, what happens? They'll push some more. Let's see. That's what they've been doing until they get everything they ever wanted.
Yeah.
Let's stop it right now. Amen?
Amen.
Well, God bless you. I think it's a good stopping point, long message, but I believe it's important. I believe we should pray. I just want to pray for two things right now. Some of you are really feeling weary. You're contending for this nation, but the weariness has come over you. You need the Holy Spirit to just... Sometimes for Sharmila and I, we can feel that weariness come on because we're contending, we're praying, we're leading intercession at our church for these things. And then we just see the stuff happening and where's the justice, all the exposure. And you can just get focused on that sometime and get a distorted focus. But what we need to do is get encouraged. One of the things that we like to do to encourage ourselves is watch the Flashpoint on the Victory Channel every Tuesday and Thursday and get a prophetic perspective, the good, the bad, and the ugly that's taking place, and how do we rise up and confront that? We've got a lot of, Wendy Rogers has come on there, a lot of strong Christian senators and congress people have come on there that love Jesus and say, here's how we can contend for our nation. Here's what you can do to help us fight for our country while we're in Congress on the front lines. Amen? So sometimes you just need a good shot. What do you need to encourage yourself? That's one thing that helps us. It's kind of like we're addicted to that program. It's good. Good addiction.